current state here on WKAR. Our first guest today says that the city of Lansing is contending with a heroin epidemic. Records indicate that so far here in 2015, heroin has played a role in 7 deaths in Lansing compared to 3 all last year and only 1 in 2013. Non-fatal overdoses have spiked as well to 49 this year. That's more than double the previous year. State health data confirm Lansing is not alone. Earlier this summer, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, who chairs a new panel looking into the issue, pointed out that addiction to opioids and prescription drugs has led to a quadrupling of unintentional drug deaths in Michigan since 1999. What's behind this disturbing trend? How are officials dealing with it? And what else can be done about it? To help answer those questions, we welcome back Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski. Welcome back, Chief.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you. Before we get into this very important issue, I do want to ask you about how the police department was impacted by yesterday's torrential rains here. It was quite an afternoon.
It was quite an afternoon, you know, and in about a two-hour time period, we saw almost 4 inches of rain fall here in the city of Lansing. So that caused significant flooding in a lot of our intersections and roads. But we quickly got the Emergency Management Operations Center up, and our crews and police forces and fire department was able to really grasp a hold of it real quickly and get things under order.
Well, let's move on here to the heroin and the opioid situation here in mid-Michigan. Tell us more about this rise in deaths and overdoses. What's happening?
Well, you know, Mark, it's not only a, you know, greater Lansing, a Lansing metro issue. It's actually a national issue. Back in 2014, I attended a national conference at PERF put on in 2014, the fall of 2014. And this is really stemming from the East Coast, where they're seeing just a significant increase in heroin deaths and overdoses. We're starting to see that effect here in the Midwest. Northeast and Midwest are really leading the overdoses and deaths as it relates to heroin. It really comes down to a couple key issues, that the availability of heroin and the cost of heroin is really driving the use of heroin here in this country, more specifically, you know, here in the Lansing metro area. But it affects all walks of life. We're seeing that our youngsters from all classes, whether it's in the city of Lansing or outside in the suburban areas, heroin is having a great effect and a significant impact. And we're certainly seeing a surge in heroin overdoses.
So it's more are you saying it's more available and it's less expensive?
Correct. Yes,
okay.
It's exactly what's happening in this country.
Recently, we've been reading about the FBI investigation into Dr. Paul DeWeese's practice involving patients who seek relief from pain, but also people who are addicted to these substances and these prescriptions. The takeaway seems to be that some number of pain patients and addicts cannot get the medication, and they're resorting to street drugs. Is that how you see it?
It's accurate to a certain extent. Most recently, a research came out saying that prescription pills certainly are part of the issue, but it isn't the driving force behind it. The biggest effect of it is that the purity levels of heroin are extremely high. They used to be less than 10%. We're seeing in those levels of anywhere from 40 to 50% here in the Lansing area. Some places in the country are seeing purity levels of 80 to 90%. So the purity levels, the availability, and the cost, it costs about anywhere from $10 to $15 for a bindle of heroin, whereas crack cocaine is running about $20. In some areas, you can get a bindle of heroin for as low as $5. When you compare that to prescription pills, when you compare to the availability of OxyContin, how they've reformulated the OxyContin so it's a little bit harder to abuse nowadays, that's really led to an increase in heroin. But it's all about the availability and the cost.
I guess what I'm trying to get at here is how much of this is driven by recreational drug people who just want to get high, and compared to people who have legitimate medical issues who are just trying to get some relief. Is that apparent to you from your perspective?
I would say that, you know, more work needs to be done on that. More research has to be done on that. We certainly believe from our perspective that a good number of this is recreational. Yeah. Prescription pill abuse is happening at a young age, our young adults. And certainly there are cases where those get hooked on prescription pills for painkillers, and it leads to a whole nother issue.
How much can Lansing police do about this issue?
Well, I think it's important. This is a time to educate our public that this is a public health issue and that the Lansing Police Department is being very proactive on it, but we're collaborating with all the players at the table. We're not working in silos. So we currently right now are working with Ingham County, Eaton County, Michigan State University, East Lansing, Community Mental Health, the Ingham County Health Department. We're actually part of a prescription drug task force for Ingham County that's chaired by Chief Sressman, and we're trying to put all the resources together. But the data that we're trying to track is collecting that data so we can see what kind of a significant problem that we're having here in the Lansing area. And that means that we have to work with our hospitals. We have to work with the health department. We have to work with our fire departments and police departments. And we're really in that phase of collecting the data to see how significant of a surge do we really have here in the Lansing area. Clearly, there's an increase, and clearly we have to be proactive because we don't want to wait until we get to those levels that the East Coast is seeing on heroin overdoses and fatalities.
Mike Yankowski is our guest. He's the chief of police for the city of Lansing, and we're talking about heroin and other addictive drugs and the rise in the use of those drugs, fatalities and casualties as well. Are you preparing for these numbers to keep going up in the next couple of years, Mike?
Well, I think the trend is heading that way, and that we want to be able to be as proactive as possible in getting that educational message out to all levels. That means parents and guardians having talks with their young kids that are in high school and college kids, and making sure that prescription pills are not available in the house, that they're locked up, that we're working very closely with all our partners here in the Lansing metro area to make sure that we do our part in keeping these levels from not increasing. But as of right now, the trends are increasing, and we certainly have seen that in the Chicago area and in the East Coast.
Help us understand how LPD enforces our confusing marijuana laws these days, and specifically with regard to the shops and dispensaries. There are a few dozen, as I'm led to believe, in the city. How are you approaching these pot shops, the dispensaries?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to one thing, that law enforcement in general is screaming for clarity on the issues. The medical marijuana laws that are in place are unclear. And as we work through our investigations, if we see violations, we present those to the necessary either city attorney or the prosecutor's office for prosecution. But what we're also seeing, you know, for example, we have one case right now that's been working through the court system since 2011. That there's no clear indication what the laws are. And so we are really waiting for legislation to come in and clarify this for law enforcement. You know, our job is to enforce the laws. We don't write the laws, but the medical marijuana laws here in the state of Michigan are unclear for law enforcement.
Are officers ever called to these dispensaries or pot shops?
Yeah, we take them on a case-by-case basis. We do have complaints from our citizens. We've had numerous investigations that look into the legality of these individual dispensaries and shops, and we investigate those on a case-by-case. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, when we talk about the resources for the Lansing Police Department, it's about keeping violent crime to the lowest levels that we can, and that we really try and utilize our resources for our neighborhood issues. And violent crime is at the top of the list. Gun violence, we put a lot of resources into that.
Citizens can complain, though, about the dispensaries. I mean, apparently it's legitimate to consider them a nuisance, some kind of nuisance, as I understand. That's the most recent iteration of this thing. Do I have that right?
Well, I think there's opinions all over the place when it comes to medical marijuana. We're really waiting for legislation to clarify the role for law enforcement. That's the best message I can say at this point in time. It's unclear for law enforcement how we can move forward in enforcing the medical marijuana laws that are in place.
Lansing voters approved the decriminalization of small amounts of pot by adults on private property. That's almost 2 years ago here now. Has that been a good thing for LPD? Has that been a good thing?
Well, I think to clarify, that was a charter amendment, and that there is no city ordinance that regulates whether possession of marijuana is legal or illegal in the city of Lansing. We utilize state law and federal laws when it comes to enforcing the marijuana laws. So when we come across possessions of marijuana, we apply that to the state law. We haven't seen a significant increase or decrease in those possession cases over there in that time period.
But given the fact that this was passed, if you encounter somebody 21 years of age or older on their property with under an ounce of marijuana, do you charge them?
It's on a case-by-case situation. Officers have discretion whether to utilize the state law. There is no city ordinance. It's still a state law to possess marijuana or sell marijuana at levels of that degree. So,
was I wrong a minute ago? I mean, didn't voters agree to decriminalize marijuana under those circumstances?
It was a charter amendment, but possession of marijuana is still a state and federal law violation.
So you reserve the right at LPD to charge people even if it may be an ounce, it may be 21 years of age, maybe on private property.
Yeah, but that all comes down to discretion. The number of possession of marijuana cases less than an ounce are very few at the Lansing Police Department. Again, a lot of our resources are focused on violent crime and how we can keep gun violence to the minimum here in the city of Lansing.
Lansing City Council member Carol Wood was on the program a couple of weeks ago saying 25 officer positions on the Lansing Police Department have been approved and funded, but she suggested that the hiring is not happening or it's taking way too long to fill these positions. Is she right about that?
Well, Mark, I'll say we have some good news to announce today is that this week alone, we have completed two of our three hiring processes. So we have hired a total of 13 police officers this week. We have 10 that we're going to be sending to the Mid-Michigan Police Academy, sponsoring them as Lansing police officers, which will be graduating in December. And then we also have 3 police officers starting August 24th. But I'll say that the hiring process is very complex, that it is a time-consuming process, and we want to make sure that we get it right. And so we certainly do our due diligence from recruiting, interviews, and backgrounds to make sure that we're hiring the best and the brightest for the capital city's finest.
According to a website I discovered yesterday, Law Street, Lansing is now the 8th most violent city in the country among cities with a population under 200,000, and it's true that the city's murder rate is nonetheless down pretty significantly, but it's the first time the capital city's broken the top 20 in this ranking, at least according to this website, and it shot up to number 8. It sounds like you could use those officers.
Well, I think it's important to point out that even though we've had vacancies through that time period, that we've still been putting out police officers on road patrol duties. What we didn't do is fill some promotions, fill some special assignments, but our road patrol numbers were not affected during that time period. We filled that through not filling the special assignments and overtime to kind of compensate those deficiencies. But, the road patrol numbers have remained in place during those vacancies.
Okay, we're out of time. I wish we had more. We want to thank Lansing Chief of Police Mike Yankowski for joining us today on Current State. Good luck.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.